Preach it, brother.
Don't worry about
John. Don't worry about the time.
Let us pray. Brother Kyle, will you pray for us?
God, you know our needs tonight. Our heart has been crying out to you. Feed us.
Yes.
Be that shepherd to us that you've told us that you are. Lord Jesus, pray that the power of your Spirit would be among us this evening, that you would guide our brothers. He opens up the Word. Bring to his mind. Bring to his... Help him to recall that which needs to be spoken. Give to him spontaneously that which is necessary for this evening. You know the souls that you've brought to this place tonight. There's no way that any man can identify every need, but you can. So guide our brothers. He delivers the message. And I pray that your word will come forth with power. Holy Spirit, cut away that which may be in the way. Prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us this evening. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Kyle. I want to read some scripture from the Gospel of John and then a couple of others from the Epistle. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And at verse 14 through 16, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Why did Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness? Because the people were bitten by fiery serpents, and they had poison in their veins, and they were dying. They were dying like flies, and Moses sought the Lord, and the Lord gave a remedy to stick this object, a brass serpent, on a pole high above the camp, so that any that were bitten and were dying could look. It required faith to look, because it was such a unnatural means of healing, as it were. But that was a remedy that the Lord supplied, the serpent on the pole. And when they looked, those that were bitten and had the poison flowing through their veins and were drawing their last breath, if they would by faith look out in the middle of the camp and behold the brass serpent, they would live. And Jesus comes and declares that He is likewise a remedy for snake bite. A far worse bite than what occurred in the wilderness. And He has been lifted up. And he has wrought the cure with that lifting up. He doesn't save just because he's the Son of God. He saves because he is the suffering Son of God who was made sin for us. And God judged him. And therefore, anyone now, listen to this. It's good news, isn't it? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
Yes.
Right. You don't have to perish. Whosoever you be, that if you're in sin tonight, you do not have to perish. There is a remedy.
Yes, there is.
But have eternal life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 36 of the same chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. If you do not believe on the Son, your soul is getting smaller. You're shriveling up on the inside. You have no life in you. You're alive physically, but you're not really alive. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But even something more dreadful than not entering into life is having no life plus wrath. To have no life in you and then to have the wrath of God to fall upon you is not pleasant. You don't want that. But if you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. John 5. Just catching a few verses here. John 5, 24 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. It's here.
Yes, it is.
When the dead, the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If a man keeps the Lord's word, does what the Lord says, he can forget about dying. It ain't going to happen. It's done. It's over. John 10:28. And I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John John 11, 25 and 26. This, of course, was spoken to Martha, grieved at her brother's death. She had expressed the hope and the faith she had at the final resurrection of the dead in verse 24. But Jesus said unto her, I am. Right now, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Amen.
And I ask you tonight, do you believe this? You see, we're always challenged to believe this. Jesus, what a statement. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let me catch a couple of other passages. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I do not know, for I am in a strait. I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better.
Amen.
Now, beloved, I don't care how well you have it, what your level of prosperity, health, goodwill, or anything else is, whatever you're enjoying of the good favors of the Lord God Almighty is nothing compared to what's awaiting.
Right. Amen.
Right. It's far better.
Yes, it is.
Go back to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I want to speak to you tonight. I hear it by a lot of people, and they use the little phrase, life is good. I want to talk to you about this. Eternal life is good.
Yes, brother.
Now, if I ask you tonight what the most wonderful, desirable qualities of life, and I mean the qualities, if you think about it and meditate on it, what would you say would be the qualities that make life worth living for an individual? I mean, that makes life an enjoyable and profitable experience. You see, there is actually, for life to be pleasant to us, that is, our physical life in this world, there has to be a combination of factors. There are not all aspects of this life are pleasant and enjoyable. Some are very hard. In fact, some are very miserable. If we were to just to isolate in our thinking the factors that made life worth living, let me just give you some suggestions. The first itself would be, now, I would rather be alive and conscious than, as it were, laying tonight in a casket in the funeral home. I would really prefer to be alive than instead of be dead. Would you? I like life. I vote for life. We like life. But not just being alive, there's something even more. I had a good friend whose son recently was spent in the Arkansas State Penitentiary on drug charges. And I corresponded with him a lot while he was in prison. And he was longing. And some of his correspondents told me that as long as he was in that prison, he said, "I can't wait. I can't wait to get out and be free once more." He said, I do not like this imprisonment. This is not living." And so therefore we would say that one great quality of life would be to be free, wouldn't we? Not imprisoned. Not having any shackles on us. I like doing my own thing. I vote for freedom. Another factor would be being full and satisfied. Did anybody come to church tonight? Now, not because you had to. Did you? Is there anybody really here that missed a good feeding today? And you're coming in, you're starving and want. We're well fed.
Yes, sir.
Aren't we?
Yes.
And we like it. We don't like the discomfort of being in want or being in need. This is a terrible state of affairs. We like to be full and satisfied. We don't like this thing of feeling that we're in need, being deprived of food and clothing and shelter. Things that are necessary. We like another quality would be of life would be being happy, not depressed. I would rather be happy than to be depressed. Have you ever been depressed? Have you ever been low? Has your spirit ever been disquieted within you? It has been so in my life. I suppose every true Christian goes through down times of discouragement, depression. And there's a lot of factors that influence our emotions in this realm. But we don't like this. We like life to be light and free and happy. We do not like depression. Another factor of life would be feeling well, not sick. Anybody sick among any sick here tonight? It's not fun to be sick, is it? I've had my share of sickness. I'll tell you, I vote for health over sickness. It's really a trial when you appoint affliction and sickness. We like feeling well, a sense that everything is well. Another thing, this all has to do with our comfort. We don't like to be tormented. We're made. God made us with a comfort zone. We have nerves and emotions and feelings. We don't like to be out of that comfort zone. We consider it to be an important factor of life, an enjoyable life. A desirable quality of life. A sense of being surrounded by well-being. The psalmist expressed this in an experience when he said, "Thy lines have fallen to me in pleasant places." We like a sense of well-being. We like to be surrounded not by problems. I vote, get rid of the problems. I don't like trouble. I don't like family troubles. Do you? I don't like trouble. Trouble puts a pain in your life. Also, another factor would be we consider having a great purpose. A sense of purpose and meaning. That you are yes, relevant in the universe, that you're not being ignored, but that somebody appreciates you. In fact, somebody loves you. You are made a creature that needs to be loved. You do not function well if you have a sense that no one loves you. The world experiences manifold miseries tonight, flowing from the acts and the deeds of people who feel that no one loves them. Life! The good life! Here's something else that's a very important quality of a good life. A sense of security. If we knew that we were about to be broken into in our homes and robbed at gunpoint when we got back tonight, it'd scare us, wouldn't it? We like security. We like to feel that we're safe. That's part of a good quality of life. We like to feel that we're safe from harm. That danger is far off. Now, as you contemplate, and I could go on with many of these things, but do you realize when we talk about life and the best qualities that make life worth living, the most common term Jesus used to describe the consequences of a relationship with God, the consequence of getting right with God, coming back into harmony with our Creator, the most common term He used was life. An eternal life. I want you to think for a few moments. This thing of eternal life. There is within us an innate sense, a longing for immortality. In fact, there is somehow a sense that we are immortal. Guess what? Every one of you that I'm looking in the eye tonight, you are going to live forever. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that everybody here is going to live in a good condition forever.
Right.
But every one of us is going to live on forever. There never will be a time that you will cease to be. There will never be a time from this point on, from the time that you were born, that you will ever lose and be unconscious. You will live. We all have this sense of immortality. And we have this subtle dislike. It's distasteful. This thing of even natural life coming to an end. We don't want to die. We are not made to die. We feel like we're meant to live on forever. Now, Lord Jesus comes into this world offering sinners who are under a terrible crisis and plague of sin, the awesome reality of good. Now listen, not just sinners will have eternal life, but the kind of eternal life that Jesus is offering those who will come to Him is good eternal life.
Yes.
Good. Very good. Can you think about this? The prospect of escaping death. That is the true meaning of death. Death is not just the cessation of consciousness. Death, in its fullest sense, is separation from God.
Right.
And Jesus is the remedy for your broken, separated condition from God. He can bring you back.
Thank you, Lord.
And you can live forever. The privilege of living forever. Possessing the quality of existence that is downright enjoyable. You're going to like it if you get it. There's no flaws in it.
There you go.
You will live a never-ending, enjoyable existence of well-being in a pristine atmosphere of beauty and bliss. Sound like something you're interested in? Are you interested in living out your eternity in a pristine atmosphere of beauty and glory and bliss? Or would you rather live out your eternity in an atmosphere of darkness and eternal remorse and weeping and gnashing of teeth?
Amen.
And I might say to you that Jesus says, don't get mad at me. The choice is yours. Christ makes it plain in His Word that it's not just life that is good. It's when our life on earth comes into harmony with God, our Creator, our Redeemer, when we come into fellowship with Him and we begin to love Him and serve Him. Now this is really living. It is wonderful. You're at peace with your Creator. You're forgiven of your sins. You're in fellowship with the Lord. You have a brotherhood that loves you. You have a brotherhood to love. You can live upon pursuing not iniquity that destroys you, but pursuing righteousness and the kingdom of God. It's only this state of life, when you come into harmony with God and you're right with the Lord, do you begin to possess at that moment eternal good life. For then we get to live on forever. Death will lose its power and its claim over us. And we will. It won't be a fairy tale. We will live happily.
Amen.
Ever after.
Amen.
With Christ in glory. With a new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. And this is the exclusive promise that belongs to only born again believers.
Right.
You must look upon Christ to have life. To get the sin poison out of your system.
Yes.
To be cured of your deadly disease, you must look upon the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
This is life. Eternal life. And you must. Our Lord is not one way. He is the way.
Amen.
Of eternal life.
Yes, sir.
And when you come to Him, let me tell you what happens. In this thing of eternal life, death ceases to be the fearful boogie that it once was. For now, Even though your outward flesh, your body, can die, it's only your body that can die. And Jesus said, do not be afraid of the body death. He told us that. Do not be afraid of them who kill the body, and after that they have no more than they can do. He said, you better fear him who has, after he has killed you, has the power to kill you over and over and over and over and over through all the endless expanse of eternity. You'll be drinking down the second death. You better fear him.
Yes.
It's good advice, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to die forever. I don't want to go to the place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to be living the kind of life in this world that shrinks my soul so small and I become so insignificant and so consumed with sin and selfishness that my soul is barely worth damning. You want to come to your potential? You want to really begin to live? He's the way.
Yeah.
Beloved, you shall not lose anything at death if you believe in Christ. You shall only gain.
Amen.
And what we shall gain in death is something far superior than we have ever known in this world. We who are Christians have the promise of entering directly, non-stop, into a bliss and a pleasure and a beauty that will be unspeakably good, indescribably beautiful, far better than the best that you know now. Put every condition that makes life pleasurable and enjoyable and profitable and magnified a million times. You know, I've noticed this in all of us. Even we who are Christians. We seem to be morbidly over-attached to this side of life. We're too earthbound. It's too easy to be setting our affection on things below. You know, when we get a bad report of a disease or a fatal illness, we sometimes, in our minds, we act like it's the worst news that could possibly happen to us. What a disaster! We cannot bear the thought of the loss of this natural life. But beloved, let me tell you, we ought to reserve our dread and our fears for having to stay on long this side of life. For it's this side of life where all the evil things are.
Yes.
Little do we appreciate what it will mean to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. O death, where is thy? O grave, where is thy? There is nothing to fear in dying, Christian. There's nothing to fear passing through the doors of something that won't even sting you. Why, those who live and believe in Him. Jesus gave us something to believe. He challenged us to believe it. Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die.
Amen.
Do you believe this? Because even if you don't, it's true. It's true.
Amen. Right.
Amen,
brother.
Amen.
I'm not going to die!
Yeah, brother. Come on.
You're looking at somebody who has turned his worthless, good-for-nothing life over to Jesus. And he has from that moment made me imperishable. There's nothing to fear, dread, nothing to worry about, nothing to be depressed about in the prospect of departing this world and entering into the presence of the Lord. We are kings on the way to a throne. We are destined to reign. We're destined to roam. We're destined to romp. We're destined to rest. Right? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And their works do follow them.
Yes.
Beloved, the terms of getting in on this. I want in on it, and I want to stay in on it.
Amen.
Yes. I want to believe, and I want to continue to believe.
Yes, sir.
But actually, beloved, the terms is turning your life over to the rule and reign and authority of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you're willing to do that, no matter whosoever you are, no matter how educated you are, how wealthy or poor you are, how healthy or sick you are, doesn't matter your problems in life, doesn't matter what's happening in your parents, doesn't matter what's happening in your children, whosoever will believe will be given the gift of eternal life. And beloved, actually, what happens in death for the believer is but a fuller and better carrying on of what we have now. That is, do you have any fellowship now with God? You're going to carry that on in a fuller way. For the moment, from the moment we turn to Christ, we possess eternal life. Beloved, now, not later. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we have God's word on it that right now, I am a bona fide child of heaven because I have given up my worthless life that was good for nothing to the rule of this Jesus. And what a sweet and wonderful Savior He is. I haven't regretted a single second of it. I praise His glorious name. He set me free. He gave me joy. He washed my sins away. He took my guilt and cast it into the deep sea of His forgetfulness. He justified me fully, plunged me and washed me in His own blood, gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then has called me to serve Him, to preach to you good people. Hallelujah! How much better can it get?
Amen.
When it is!
Right.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Come on. Amen.
The best is yet to come. Death is going to free us entirely. We're going to really get going then. You think we're excited now?
Come on.
You think there's any joy now? You think there's any hope now? I'll tell you, in death, we who believe, but rid ourselves of only the undesirable aspects of our present existence. We get rid of the corruption. We get rid of the weakness. We're going to get rid of the tempter. One day, devil, I'm going to be out of your reach. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. And besides, devil, my Savior has given me eternal life and declared that you cannot pull me and pluck me out of the Father's hand.
Amen.
Nay, 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 nay. Now, I'm not making light of the devil, but I'm saying, beloved, how wonderful it will be. Don't you enjoy the blissful thought of one day not ever being tempted?
Right.
Not having any more a bad thought?
Amen.
No more struggle with the enemy? No more bodily afflictions? No more mental sorrows? No more physical pains? No more anguish and worry? Every negative thing that Adam and his sin and our sin has brought upon us, everything that brings stress and fear and tears to our present life will disappear.
Amen.
And fade away. What will it be like upon entering the presence of the Lord? What will we feel when we enter the presence of the Lord? If we can feel such things now.
Oh my.
I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but occasionally I get a little tickle. There is a measure of joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if we can feel that now at times, what are we going to feel? What are we going to think when we move out of this house of clay and weakness directly into our Father's house, eternal in the heavens? And His place becomes our place. You think about that. His home becomes our home. Can you imagine someone like that? Somebody as big and as important and knowledgeable and supreme and sovereign as that, letting you move into His house next to Him? Can you imagine it? When His place becomes my place. And furthermore, it is reserved in heaven for us, incorruptible, undefiled. We're never going to be evicted. And there's no rent to pay.
Amen.
It's been paid in full. I'll tell you, the Son of God did not die for trifles.
Right.
He's going to give us great things. Everlasting life. Can we dream of what blessings await us in our Father's house above? We have a brother in our church. I'm sure there's none of you like this. He comes to church every time. He says, "Boy, I need to hear a word today. I'm down. I need to be revived." Can you imagine when we get into His place, never needing a revival?
Amen.
Perennially refreshed. Full of the Spirit, as full as we could be. And think about this. Such peace and tranquility there. There's no strife. There's no quarrels. There's no doctrinal divisions. There's no anger. There's no wicked that are troubling. For there the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. And what joy. What joy. We shall leap and run and laugh and jump and skip and fly. Have you ever wanted to fly? You say it's not possible. why ain't it? We're going to move in an environment of total freedom with total freedom. We will be in the infinite spheres of the new heavens and the earth, new earth. There will be no restrictions, no boundaries, no limitations, and no rules. For there will need to be no rules. For in Aslan's land, you cannot even desire something that's wrong. And what scenery? I must admit, I found out something about Texas this week that I didn't believe. Now, I am from the north, not the south part of Ozarks, not the south part of Arkansas, around Helena and those lower regions. But I'm from the hills. And we have scenery. And oh, we've got mountains. And oh, streams. We've got real rivers. And they run clean. And there, I was up in the Ozarks, I said, a couple weeks ago, preaching, and I went out on a little drive up in this vast section of the forest, and there was this isolated stream. It was part of the middle fork of the Illinois Bayou, and the scenery was outstandingly beautiful. It almost took my breath away, and the water was trickling down and made such a luscious sound as it moved into these pools, and these big, beautiful pools of water were so blue and beautiful. I said, oh, such scenery. Well, I found out about Texas. I stopped at a little... You have a little mountain over here, LaGrange, overlooking the Colorado River. We stopped there and found that it's a state park, and it's really a beautiful place. I'll have to hand it to you. You've got a beautiful place here in Texas. Don't we like... There's something about scenery. We like beautiful scenery. Now, if this land can have such breathtaking sights and be yet so spoiled and tainted and littered by sin, what's the scenery going to be like when we get up there? Oh man, I'll tell you this about it. You'll be looking on the vistas of that new heaven and new earth. You can look on it for a million years and not get bored.
Right.
Oh, such scenery, that's true. It's a land that will never be spoiled, tainted, littered, corrupted. It is a world that will never grow old. And it will never be boring to our perfected senses. And let me tell you this. I got a quick thing. I'm finishing up here. I need to finish. There's a lot of ways to steal from a man besides putting a gun on his belly. But let me just share this with you. Everything's going to transpire there. The people, the worship, the singing, the music, the angels, the serving that will be going on, the fellowship, the resting, the working will be the very best that we can imagine. For no sin and corruption or imperfection will be in anything that is done in glory. And furthermore, let me say, the best people that you can imagine will be there. You're going to love all of them. What wonderful, interesting personalities. There'll not be one soul that you'll meet in glory. Not one soul will be there that you don't like or wouldn't mind spending forever with.
Amen.
And when you get up there, there's not going to be any goodbyes.
Right.
No departing. And there will be no quarreling. There will be no arguments. There will be no anger. There will be no grievances with anyone. That's going to happen, beloved. When we go to be with the Lord, there will be delightful, glorious, satisfying surprises awaiting us from time to time. This is an amazing thing about heaven. When you get there and first see it, you will say, wow! And then perhaps after you've settled in, you'll see something else and you'll say, wow. And after, you see, time is no more, but after the passing of an eon, you'll see something else that'll say, wow. Why? Because that's the nature of God.
Yes.
You think He can be exhausted? You think His land has any limitations on it? God can and will do this for all of us. For as it is written, and it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. And of every good thing I could tell you about, and I know so little about it, but I can tell you the best of all, we're going to finally get to see our Savior.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And our God.
Yes.
As He is.
Amen.
Without any veil between us.
Amen.
Without any hindrances. This will in and of itself engage our affections and our hearts and our intellects forever and ever and ever. However big or small your cup may be, it will be running over in heaven. You will look and Christ will look at you. And you will look into His eyes of love and you will love Him more. For Christ is the reason any of us will be there in that place with the Father. We shall rejoice and worship. If you don't like worship now, you have no place there. For it will be a continual worship service. We shall rejoice and praise Him as it is fitting. We shall love Him perfectly and gladly. We shall serve in any capacity or degree He desires of us. And to our amazement, we shall not only serve Him. I don't understand this, what Jesus said in Luke 12:37. But if we are faithful, we have this to look forward to. That one day, Christ Himself will cause us to sit down and come and gird Himself and serve us. He might even just give you a little stone with a particular engraving on it. You look at it, and it has some particular characteristic about your particular trial. Something that you weathered that was peculiar to your life, in which you manifested faithfulness, and that you continued to love Him. And He gives you that little stone with that personal note. Will be something that you can hold and cherish. You will know that He knew, He cared, He loves. Are you ready to die? Are you ready? You see, for your eternal life to be a good life, you've got to begin now while you live in this world.
Right.
To surrender and yield and commit yourself to the Son of God.
Right.
I urge you to do it. For one day, if you don't, you'll regret it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You came into the world that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank You for all the good things You're doing for us now. We thank You for the unsearchable riches of Christ that are awaiting us. We thank You that one day, when the ages pass over ahead, that we will continue to learn of all the glories and the love and the sacrifice and the meaning of our redemption will be fuller and fuller to us, O Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Save tonight, Lord, those that are in need. For we pray in Your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.